Welcome back to the Paula Gordon Show. Our guest is Dr. C.J. Peters, and we're talking about viruses. You were just saying viruses aren't necessarily a sickness issue. They're simply part of life. Well, I'm more important than a virus because I'm a human. So how can you say that I'm an equal to a virus?
I think it's a big mistake to assume that we're the center of the universe and we're always going to be here. I think you could, all you have to do is look at some of the people who have thought deeply in the past and who are thinking deeply today about evolution. Guys who are writing in this area, The Sixth Extinction, A Full House, some of these books, I think put it into a very nice perspective. And if that's not good enough, well then just look around you and see how quickly things are changing. I think we may be the last big mammal because we seem to be able to screw up the earth so thoroughly that there may be a little period here after us where there's all kinds of problems with the existence of the planet. But that's not what we're here to talk about, and that's not what I know anything about.
And it's also important to say in your point, which you make in your wonderful book, The Virus Hunter, there are only 4,000 mammals, give or take, on the planet, and we are just one of that 4,000, and other life forms have done real well, and that all of these life forms together, they all have a stake in this, which takes us back to you being a virologist. That's hard to say.
Did virologist, I say please.
Virologist. Okay.
So hard
you're
to
not
say.
Viral, you're a viral. I got it.
I want to go
something
back.
That little this, having that big an impact on the big guys.
Well, and the ability
impresses me.
To know that you're not going to lose. I mean, that is a striking. If you could go
well,
in,
I mean,
if
they
you could
may
go
in.
The virus know.
They may
anything.
Lose. I'm sure that sometimes they lose. Just like
well, individually, yes, but there's not much reason to believe they're going to lose collectively, is there?
Not collectively as viruses, but a viral species may extinguish itself.
Sure.
I mean, I think that probably happens. Unfortunately, they don't leave fossils, so we can't go back and dig them up and say, aha, you know, this dinosaur had a virus. All we can find are his bones.
That's very interesting. There's no history. The history that we have of viruses is essentially the modern history, then.
We have some information from 5,000 years ago that indicates clearly there were viruses then, but that's not long. And we have, for example, pharaohs' mummies, which show skeletal deformities that mean that they had poliovirus infection, almost certainly. We have a mummy or two that has smallpox scars, and some people even think they've been able to visualize smallpox virions. Smallpox is a virus, and the virion is its little body. Been able to visualize those in scrapings from the embalmed skin of those pharaohs. But that's all we have except just the general feeling that these things just don't happen. They've been around.
Yeah. Is it a fair fight between us and them?
Well, I think it's a fair fight. They've got, on their side, they've got this replicated potential we talked about, this evolutionary potential. They've got all this going for them. Plus, there's lots of different kinds of them. And we've got our brains. And if we can just get smart enough and pay attention to what they're doing, I think we can give them a run for their money. But unless we're looking out, I think we have a problem.
Are we looking out?
We until the 60s, infectious diseases in general were seen as a major threat. People in this country who are older remember the real problems with polio, diphtheria, all these older infections that have caused such problems. But in the 60s, we began to get on top of the existing infections, and we began to develop not just one antibiotic like penicillin or sulfonamides, but multiple antibiotics. And we thought we had it won. And I think at that point, people stopped looking out. And in the last 5 years, we've just turned around and said, hey, wait a minute. We're going through our antibiotics faster than you can imagine.
Going through them, like making them ineffective, going through them, right?
We're using them, misusing them, and overusing them to the point where they're not able to treat the infections that we could 20 years ago. I mean, it's easier to treat some infections when I was an intern than now.
Hmm.
And similarly, we're seeing that the ecological change, I mean, you made the point that this program talks about change. Well, that change for a virus means opportunities, mm-hmm. you know, and that's exactly the kind of attitude that we've begun to realize we're going to have to take. And people are now actually putting money into CDC and other organizations to go out and find out what's happening. We call it surveillance. That's the $5 word, surveillance. But really, it just means poking your nose around and trying to figure out what is happening in the disease world.
Is that what epidemiologists do? That's another one of those 75-cent words. Epidemiologists go out and look at epidemics, yes?
Well, that's the old definition, but now we tend to see it much more broadly. They measure what's happening so they can recognize epidemics. Also, I'm not really an epidemiologist. I don't have a degree I don't know the secret handshake and so on. I do a lot of epidemiology, and I think one of the things that we're trying to do is to bring together microbiology, epidemiology, and the other sciences that fit in, sociology and so on and so on. So, I mean, it's not a simple problem. It's not, you don't send an epidemiologist out who tells you how to prevent disease. You don't send a microbiologist out who makes a vaccine. You don't send a social scientist out to tell you how they can live better in this particular area and avoid disease. You need all the disciplines together.
I've been struck just reading your book and other things at the subtlety of what you're dealing with and the complexity of it. It's not as if, I mean, we all have the sense, at least I have the sense, that there's a certain mechanical process. You know, you plug it in here, you turn the crank, and the answer comes out.
Sounds like a good idea, don't you think, Dr. Peters?
And that they're readily established. If you spend enough years in school, then you know how to do that. Or if not, you call up somebody who does. And it seems to be much more complex than that, much more subtle than that.
Wouldn't be any fun if that's all you did. I mean, you know, if you went out, I'll admit that when you go out on these epidemics, you frequently run by the library and Xerox a few things and read them on the airplane. But at the same time, you have a creative process and you have an information gathering process. I mean, you arrive on the scene and you don't know what's happening. There are rumors, there are stories, the things in the press. You can't actually believe any of those. You have to find some of the principals. You have to start talking to the principals and finding out what really happened.
You mean like the people principles?
Yeah, sorry.
So that you can develop a principle,
The principles, ALS, to develop the LES. And
that sounds like a detective story.
Yeah, there's a lot of that in it. Except you also have forensics.
Forensics.
I mean, we take things back to the lab. I mean, somebody dies, and what we would like to do.
You mean like police forensics? No.
I by analogy, forensics.
Oh,
we like to carve them all up in little pieces and take them back to our equivalent of the medical examiner.
Uh huh. And what do they do?
We have techniques now in pathology and in microbiology to probe these tissues to look for viral genomes. We can look for the genetic material of viruses.
So somebody gets sick and you cut them up and take it back and look at the things that made them sick?
In the worst case, we like to think that we wouldn't do that unless they died first. But when those are the kinds of sicknesses.
I think I was thinking biopsies, but okay.
we'll settle for biopsies sometimes. But you can take the techniques of modern pathology, and that's a problem in our country, by the way. We're not doing autopsies the way we used to.
Huh. Why is that?
No, it's bucks. It's bucks. Managed care. Who wants to pay for somebody else's autopsy, and what is it going? How is that autopsy going to benefit the insured? Well, the insured's dead, so it's not going to benefit them at all. Forget it. So
we don't know what's killing people. We don't know as much
less.
As we used to about
less
killing
and less.
People.
We were lucky in the Hana virus outbreak in that it happened
in the what virus outbreak?
There is an outbreak that I talk about in the book that's caused by a virus called a Hana virus. It occurred in the Southwest in 1993. It was a brand new disease.
Among the Navajo people.
People were dying, particularly mm-hmm. Navajo. And as these people died from this terrible disease that literally causes them to drown in their own plasma, as they died, no one knew what was going on. And the more people who died, the less we knew about what was going on, the more we were sure it was something different. And one of the big keys to resolving it was that The state of New Mexico has a law that says that the Office of Medical Investigations can require an autopsy if there's reason to suspect that there's an importance for public health.
Which is non-trivial with the Navajo.
It's non-trivial with the Navajo, and it's non-trivial even with non-Navajo.
Because there
right.
are cultural prescriptions against doing autopsies.
As well as the economic problem.
Among the Navajo, right. But I can tell you it's difficult even in an Anglo group to get autopsies when you need them.
We're going to be back in just a minute with Dr. C.J. Peters, who's going to talk about hantaviruses and this whole very complex issue of emerging new diseases at a time when we are deceiving ourselves, I think you would say, that we've conquered infectious diseases. Lots to talk about. Bill Russell and I are here at the Commerce Club with Dr. C.J. Peters, and we're going to be back in just a moment. Do stay with us.